All right. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2-Way, mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael Dean?
No, I'm extraordinarily ill. It's not working. I don't feel too good.
We got to crank it up. We might have to turn this up to 375 degrees for you.
Yeah, it would help. I almost went to the ER today. I woke up and I couldn't breathe and went to urgent care. Now, I got to say, my new doctor's also runs an urgent care facility, and it was like the best urgent care experience I've ever had. This is kind of surprising. Like, usually, you know, you go and it's like there's a bunch of crying babies, and then like somebody who, you know, is just trying to work the doctor for narcotics, and then there's some industrial accident with a guy with some rebar through his head or something who doesn't have health insurance. And this was like going to the ER without the ER experience. Like, I was the only person there. I was in and out of there in 2 hours. They like gave me a chest x-ray. They did a bunch of tests. They like took a sputum sample. That's the new hashtag, MWD. Sputum sample.
Oh, no.
You know, so like they're actually going to determine if it's, you know.
What is that, like a pap smear? What is that?
Yeah, for your lungs. Yeah.
Okay.
And I tried to take a picture of the thing that it came in, the sputum sample collection thing. And they get, you know, my lungs.
They put it in like a souvenir container for,
yeah,
so you can.
Yeah.
Like, okay,
yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, you know, usually they just throw antibiotics at you and kick you out. But in this case, they threw antibiotics at me, gave me a chest x-ray, took a sputum sample so they can actually find out if it's, you know, viral or bacterial or protozoa or, you know, crotch crickets in your lungs. So you can see
who knows
it is.
What that could be, like tumbleweeds or something.
Tumbleweeds.
Root in there.
I saw tumbleweed in front of the doctor's office covered in snow. That's a specifically Wyoming treat. Nice. So, how are you? Where is our co-host? I'm not supposed to be on tonight. We're supposed to have Steve Miller. What happened to him?
I am worried about him.
I'm gonna call him again.
You know, of course, my first assumption is a drone attack. You know?
Well.
So my thoughts are with him tonight, wherever he may be.
Yeah.
He may be fighting for his life for all we know.
Yeah. Well, I could do a couple segments with you. I'll just be your Robin Quivers and let you. You were about to do a show alone, which is really difficult unless you're Rush Limbaugh. Now, he doesn't really do a show alone, though, you know. His co-host is the voices in his head. You realize that, right?
Oh, well, I could try that. Yeah.
That's how all those guys do it.
I just think it would be really boring for the audience if I was talking to myself.
Hey, there we are.
Hey, Steve Miller, you're on the air. You should be.
Nice.
I'm having trouble with this machine today, right? Let me try something else one second.
Okay, cool.
All right, so we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. Recovering from an EMP pulse is a challenge.
Well, I'm going to hang up, Miller. Call me back if you don't get on or something.
So it's something, yeah, like after that pulse, all your electronics go down, and then it just takes a bit of rebooting and, you know, until we have the new... fully shielded.
Yeah.
See, the problem is you can't have a fully shielded Fiend phone because then you couldn't communicate with the outside world via radio waves. So
I just watched an excellent episode of one of those science-y channel shows, and it was all about can we, meaning NASA and your tax money, find another planet that's habitable. And it talked about how, like, humanity is doomed. There's going to be an extinction event at some point. You know, something's going to kill everything on Earth. It happens every Earth. So they were talking about all the different ways to get us to Alpha Centauri, which was, you know, they're calling that the nearest habitable planet. Although they've actually discovered another planet that might be even more habitable. That's like 20 light years away. And there's an interesting term. It's called the Goldilocks zone. Do you know this term?
Sure.
You can probably imagine what it means. You know, it's a planet that's situated near its star, so it's not too hot and not too cold for life as we know it. And Alpha Centauri probably has one. There might be one 20 light years away, but even like, you know, even with like conventional rockets would take like 1,000 years to go 20 light
Fiend
years.
Phone. So,
you know, they
Fiend
went through all these possibilities. One is wormholes.
Because it's in the Goldilocks zone. Doesn't mean there's going to be, like, hot porridge waiting for you when you get there.
Okay. More like molten diamonds raining down on you, probably.
Who knows? Did we have speaking of Miller? Diamonds.
Hey, Miller Miller. Speaking of golden molten diamonds, that's what Steve Miller runs on.
So, one of the lesser known benefits of yoga is that sometimes it will give you such serenity that you'll come home from a yoga class ready to take like a 2-hour nap, and you will sleep through every single alarm you set, and it will take a phone call from Wyoming in order to get you up to
nice.
Get you on Feed Phone.
It happens.
Yeah.
Well, Facebook says it's introducing a dislike button. I will dislike that you missed the first few minutes of the show because it made me panic, but I'm happy to have you here.
I'm not trying to cause acute panic within you.
That's okay.
It's a very cute panic.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
It's adorable when I panic.
It's like a baby duck.
Aw. Did you squish into foie gras?
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
we assumed you were fighting for your life, Steve Miller. I thought you were in some life and death struggle because I knew that that's the only thing it would keep you away from the fiends.
I know. You're usually here front and center, ready to go early.
Yeah. Directing traffic. Yeah. You know,
it's so, almost like you're not wearing a bolo tie.
Well, I thought maybe you'd fallen into a wormhole and ended up in Alpha Centauri because that's the other way you can get intergalactic distances in moments is a wormhole in the space-time continuum. And I want to call this episode tonight, what time is the next wormhole to Alpha Centauri? So that's the theme, if you guys got something to work around that.
All right, we have a theme now.
That you challenge the supremacy of the bolo that I'm wearing leads me to make this the first show all week. Last night I didn't. The first show all week where I go and put a selfie on Twitter of me on ye old Feed Phone.
You do that every day, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
And then you show off which bolo tie you're wearing.
And that blue light mesmerizes you on the microphone, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's hypnotism.
Yeah. It's a very blue light.
Yeah. Lets you know you're live.
Yeah, there we go. We'll do it live.
So, Board Op, if you're listening, we're not doing a replay. We have enough for even if I drop off after this segment. But look at Steve.
I had suggested that Steve and I devote a whole show to comparing your band's demo tape to Chris Cantwell. I thought that might just fill you with enough life that you could join the show. So
stay on and yell at you guys.
That band would also be called Flipper, but it would mainly be about the middle finger.
Ah, nice.
Boom.
Well, you know, in my my novel, which you can download, it was a print book actually. Starving, Becoming Beautiful Women, but you can get a free PDF of it if you go to my Twitter, Freedom Fiends Twitter, and it's the top pinned post. It says, download my novel. And then it's also got like some parody accounts I like. I crammed a lot into that one tweet. It's kind of like, you know, if I were to send something to Alpha Centauri other than me, it would be just that. You know, like how they send the metal plate, the gold plate that has the Diluvian Man and the weird like thing that's supposed to show what planet we came from so people that don't speak any natural language we understand would understand it. Mine would be that tweet. It'd be my novel and then the six parody accounts.
Yeah, but see, they always use that information to enslave humanity, okay?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's it's always
don't
like,
register with other planets. Yeah.
No, you really want to keep your position a secret if you can, you know?
I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be sending stuff out that says third rock from the sun, come on by.
Yeah, this is the list of, you know, look at these big oceans. Thirsty.
Natural resources in billions of species
and
100 elements.
Right, and look, and because they're monitoring radio waves, they can be like, oh, and everybody's a total pushover. This is going to be easy.
I know. What if Freedom Fiends being broadcast to other planet didn't like bring about LibPair? What if it just brought about the annihilation of the human race?
Yeah, they're gonna listen to this episode and they're gonna be like, oh, like we give them 2 hours worth of yoga and they'll sleep through Fiend Phone.
Those guys aren't even on time, man. One guy's late, the other guy's dying of like he had to have a lung. I had a lung X-ray this morning, and you know, okay, who can name this quote? Lung X-ray, radiation's good for you. People say you shouldn't have lung x-rays. You should have 100 a year. What's that from?
Bill Gates in his defense of chemtrails.
No, no, it's from Repo Man.
I was
going to
say, that's got to be like Pistola, the head of the TSA. I don't know.
You seen Repo Man, Steve?
It's been years and back years in the day, and years. Yeah. I don't remember. I used to be really good from Repo Man.
I used to be really good friends with that actress, Olivia Barish. She plays the girl in that.
Did she repossess your friendship?
No, she... we used to shoot dope together, though, before we got clean. But, so...
See, this is how you get doxxed. Like, that person on Twitter the other day was that called you an unemployable heroin addict.
Yeah, that's probably it. Like, he listens to... I thought he read my novel.
No,
but
his documentation for that was, like, the show. Similar to the day before when Jim Jesus got doxxed. What they used to dox it was a years-old YouTube comment.
I think
they used, like, a three-year-old episode of Freedom Fiends.
The antibiotic I'm on is called doxycycline. That's pretty cool.
Doxycycline?
Yeah. I think that means that,
makes
like,
you
the
walk
Obama
around
cares.
Telling your own information to everybody.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hi, my name is Michael Dean. I live at 38 Evergreen Terrace.
Yeah. Have you guys ever doxxed anybody?
Montana. No. Well, I wouldn't say if I had.
Wait, what did you just ask, Jim? I'm sorry.
Wait, have you ever doxxed anybody? Have you ever, like, released? I mean, besides, like, Philadelphia City Council women, we've never, like, released home addresses of people, have we? Unless
it's
we're going to their house with an angry mob.
Pussycat thing.
Sometimes you have to if you're going to bring a mob over to somebody's house. But
see, you say that, Michael D, but you've never had anybody's stanky dank grinder screenshots like I have. Do you know how many people within the Democratic Party have sent me pics on Grindr and then been like, burr, 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 burr? And I'm like, oh, contraire, old friend.
No.
For it seems that you have greeted me with pictures of your genitalia, and I do not conduct myself.
Was that Congressman Wiener? Remember that guy?
Yeah. Wasn't that guy? Remember when
he liked little girls, didn't he?
He blamed hackers. He was like, these gosh darn hackers, they went and they put out a picture of my genitals on Twitter, and I'm such a victim. And then it took all of like 6 minutes for them to be like, actually...
Was that Rick Santorum? That happened? Who? What?
No.
That happened?
That was Wiener. His name was Wiener. His name was Wiener.
Yep. As his name is Wiener.
Yeah. Who's writing this stuff? Who's writing
this? His name is Wiener.
Yeah, the people writing these scripts are getting way too obvious.
Yeah. Such lame foreshadowing.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Admit it. You hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are status anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
Repealing of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which barred homosexuals from murdering for Wall Street in the military. Now everybody can murder for Wall Street in the military.
That's progress, right?
equal opportunity.
Doesn't protect you, you know. And I'm not going to go on any tirade
unless you're like, unless your name is Goldman or Sachs.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah. But Steve Miller just can't stop. He can't help asking and telling, and he's doing more and more of it. And it's good radio. It's good radio, and we get to hear all about his grinder habits are kind of like my health habits. It's like.
Yeah.
You know, do you really want to say that on radio?
There's a lot of avoiding polyps.
We do anyway. You spend a lot of your time avoiding polyps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we have a confession here from James Babb about Hillary Clinton.
Well, you know, I
guess. It's going to be about Grindr.
No, it's not about Grindr. Well, I'm just really surprised, and I'm just sort of doubting myself because I heard that I fully support.
Is it the Green Schools Initiative? Please say it's the Green Schools Initiative.
I entered a contest for the Green Schools Initiative, and my suggestion was to bulldoze all the public schools and plant trees.
Well, and that's certainly a great way to get new trees. But this is what she said, okay? And see if you might agree with this too, okay? She says, I wouldn't keep any school open that wasn't doing a better than average job, end quote. Okay, so if the school's not above average, she would close it, okay?
I thought, how's she going to get elected? She's basically saying, I'll fire teachers.
Well, but think about this. The first year, okay, half the schools close, right? Right? Then what happens the next year? Oh, another. Then half of those schools close.
You think this is her plan for anarchy?
Right. So eventually you're left with this final school, okay, that is now not above average, and that too will get bulldozed over, okay? Yeah. And we win, right? And this is what this is Hillary Clinton's idea. I'm stunned. A little surprised, but.
I don't know.
Is that a plan you could support, Steve Miller?
The really shocking thing is that the last remaining school is going to be a Catholic school called St. Liar Socialist with a pantsuit that stinks.
When you were in the seminary, what was your denomination, Steve?
None. It was a non-denomination. It still is. All Faith Seminary. And All Faith Seminary, you should not Google it because it definitely does not have the most phallic looking logo for a seminary ever to exist.
That's where you met Invictus, right? Augustus, when he was there for his
He taught animal sacrifices. It was an elective though.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the name of the place? Yeah.
All Faiths Seminary, FAITHS.
So if you're a pagan, a Satanist, a Catholic, it's all the same there.
Yeah.
How does that work?
All under one roof. It's a Big Ten kind of party.
Interesting.
Their logo is not only kind of phallic looking; it's kind of Polynesian looking. I can see why Steve went to this place.
Yeah, because I got lured.
Although lured the by ratio that Polynesian
looking logo.
Oh, it looks like the ratio of lesbian aspiring clerics to gay men aspiring clerics is about 50-1.
Yeah.
It's an ovary.
Yeah, it's not technically ovarium. A seminary. It's an ovary. I'm still good friends with a couple people from there. I mean, most of them were, you know, kind of self-righteous. And because it was like a more liberal, I guess if you would want to put it in those terms, place, there was a lot of nodding. I was there in right around the time Obama was running, and there was this thing that liberal whites would do in the age of Obama where you would really reverse. I mean, you'd really risk a lot of neck damage by nodding so hard, especially when you'd stand behind Obama. I don't know if you remember, but the first time Obama ran, he would always have that one nodding hippie behind him that would try to prove how progressive and how ready for the change and the hope and the future they were by nodding as hard as they could, like it was 19.
Well, some of the women paid per nod.
Some of the young women young women just looked orgasmic in those videos too.
Yeah,
like just worshiping.
You know? That's probably that was probably the stage direction they were given.
Yeah,
you know,
men nod, men headbang, women look.
Women don't wear hijab and start nodding.
So check your email, guys, because I just sent you While we're talking about where we went to for our religious training, I sent you the Wikipedia article for the Church Farm School, which is where I went in Exton, Pennsylvania. We'll discuss that when we get back.
You didn't go to the Boy Choir Academy.
I want to know how Steve lost his faith, though, when we...
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
This is a teaching hospital, and I mentioned to the boys during the break that I tend to keep a little pad of paper and a pen next to me during when I'm doing radio, so I can write stuff down. And you know, if I'm mid sentence and or someone's speaking and I have a thought for the next segment or something, I'll just scribble down some notes. It's really helpful. And wow. James was just astonished.
Yeah,
you were like, man, never thought
I've learned so much from you, Michael. thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, well, I said that what I said was that,
yeah, I save all my A-list stuff until you've really proved your mettle, and you've done enough for the fiends that I can tell you those deep secrets. Like, yeah, have a pad of paper. It helps.
This is brain surgery at the teaching hospital.
It is.
Right. But that's how pros are made. Right, it's those little refined techniques, you know.
And we give you all that content for free on the Freedom Fiends. But if you don't give more money, I'm going to go on vacation and then come back.
That's
not how you do it.
Here's another pro tip that you can either take or leave, James. You can. I don't know if this will be helpful for you or not, but if you have a page a day calendar, you can save the pages after they come off, and you get one per day, like contractually. That's how page a day calendars work, and you'll just have a little pile of days past. So, like, if it's 6 days since you've been on Fiend Phone, there you are with your Ricky Lake page a day calendar. Friend Steve has a.
I have a cat calendar. You have a crush on Ricky Lake?
I have no idea why I would want that.
Hey, but, you know, we were talking during the break about the Christmas pageant we did yesterday and how good it was. And I listened to the whole thing today. It was great. And, you know, Lisa, the newly minted fiend, is so, like, malleable. Like, when it's just her and Lou, she did great, her first show. Like, you know, she was the only person on. She filled a lot of space with smart, snappy
malleable
dialogue. Yeah,
malleable. I don't know.
That's not what malleable means, I don't think.
What am I? Does it sound like?
No, like you can squish her and manipulate her into any shape that you need.
No, I mean she's like water and like fills whatever space is around that's needed to fill.
Okay,
maybe I guess malleable is not the word. It could be, but no, I'm not saying she's squishy and manipulable. I'm saying like she adapts herself. She's adaptable because then on the Fiend Show when we had. Last night in the pageant, we
versatile.
Had six people.
I think versatile.
Yeah. We had six people on.
Yeah.
She did all the. She did a good job reading the script we had, and then like didn't talk the rest of the show. I almost emailed her and said, "Hey, why don't you jump in?" And I realized there's five other people talking. There's really not room for it. And she just laughed through the whole show and was kind of the laugh track for the show, which really it actually added a lot to it. It was really cool.
As a comedian, that never gets old, and you would have that person follow you everywhere you went.
Well, Ed McMahon made a career on that, didn't he?
Yeah,
like just being that guy that goes.
yeah. Well, actually, I have in my editing fiends folder where I have the ads and stuff. I have like I haven't used these in forever, but I have like I used to have like five files called NEMA Laughs 1, NEMA Laughs 2, up through 5, and sometimes like. I would tell a joke that was funny. Like, I'd always laugh at his jokes, but he wouldn't always laugh at my jokes. And it wasn't that they weren't funny. He thought they were funny, but it was, well, maybe they weren't funny, but it was more like there wasn't room for the laugh. because we were back and forth so much. So I would put in a NEMA laugh a couple times a show sometimes.
Right, because there wasn't room for the laugh. It wasn't quote, that it didn't unquote, earn the laugh. Room. It's that it just wasn't room for the laugh. NEMA would have put it in there if we hadn't been short on time, but due to the miracles of editing, you could actually simulate the laugh he was thinking in his head,
but
didn't actually articulate.
I'm funny, but some people don't laugh because I'm so funny.
Right, it's better that you have control of NEMA's laughter rather than NEMA.
Oh, I love editing. I love editing even more than I love being on air, and that's one of the reasons why. But, you know, you really got to go watch the new season of Louie. It's getting better and better and better. That guy's amazing. And his new there's themes in the new series. One is, like, being old and feeling like young people are passing you by and squeezing you out, which I'm totally feeling these days, especially being sick. So I wanted. There was a joke that Steve told. It was pretty funny. What did you say was the name of the yoga position in your neighborhood when junkies lean and they look like they're doing yoga, Steve?
Oh, I think I might have called it Klonopinasana or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, Klonopinasana. Yeah. That's great because Klonopin's a pill and the Nanasapa sounds like asthma. Yeah. Well, you know, there's actually
sounds
like
I asthma. Can, that's why it's funny. Okay.
No, asthma. It sounds like yoga. I meant not asthma.
Oh, okay.
So, so there was. I couldn't believe NEMA didn't get that. Like NEMA. I mean, for a rapper,
what's your deal?
He's street, but he's like uptown street. You know, like. Like, I instantly knew what you were saying, and I thought about, like, there's actually a, I've heard it called the gangster lean, which is like, or I've also called it, the heard it called the tenderloin lean, because the tenderloin is a neighborhood in San Francisco where all the, it's Skid Row, it's junkie Skid Row, and it's like, it's basically, you're nodding out, you're looking like you're leaning against a wall, but there's no wall. That's the best way I can describe it. There's also, I've actually seen junkies, like, nodding out. And like when confronted, I like, hey man, you're on drugs, give me some or whatever. They're like, nah, man, I'm meditating. I've also heard it, which goes along with yoga, but I've also heard it called counting buttons for nodding out. You ever heard that? It's pretty funny.
Damn, they're bigger buttons.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, we see all of this on SEPTA around Philly. Like basically, I mean, there's a whole
Facebook
page.
Oh, the public transportation. It sounds like a disease. SEPTA.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, if you just search,
but there's a whole Facebook page called the People of SEPTA, and it's just basically sad videos of junkies nodding off when their children try to hold them up in their seat and stuff. It's just sad people.
Oh, it's not all that. Some of the things on People of SEPTA are legitimately funny, and a lot of people got really.
It's all legitimately funny, but it's.
And as a comedian, I will defend People of SEPTA to the ends of the earth because. This is something you have to deal with every day, and you know it's one of those things where if you live in Philadelphia and you don't have a car, you see these people, misery shared is misery left. So, yep,
I used to ride the subway all the time in Philly, and I wouldn't call it like really a deluxe economy. Accommodation, you know, like it's...
That reminds me, Jim, do you want to buy some bootleg DVDs 3 for $10? I mean, what are IP laws anyway?
It's all
yo
fluid.
Man, buttons, I got bigger buttons. Yo man, you like Bipcot? I got Bipcot buttons. What you need? You need Guns of Weed Road to Freedom? I got those buttons, man. I got those buttons. Fiend Phone? I got a Fiend Phone button. What you want? $2. Give me $2.
I got a used Fiend Phone, man. It's been rooted. It's been jailbroken Fiend Phone. You want to buy a jailbroken Fiend Phone?
Fiend phone.
You want to buy jailbroke Fiend phone?
Nice.
Works with any carrier in Samoa.
In Somalia.
In Samoa. That's where you want to be. That's your lip pair.
Yeah, and it's so close to Somalia alphabetically and phonetically.
But not literally.
That's the problem. And everything's expensive in Samoa, and I'm a really, really cheap man. I don't know if you know this, but, well, I'm a thrift store mannequin come to life.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. And, yeah. I don't know about the price of, especially dairy. Dairy's really expensive on island nations.
Yeah.
One thing you learn in my lifestyle. Bring it in.
So, well, I mean, can't you extract that also from overweight Polynesian men? Don't they get milk?
No, you can't milk them.
You can't milk them? Okay, speaking of the tax cattle, James Babb, tell me about my dad can arrest your dad.
Yeah, so it's visual humor, of course, but it's a
great for radio.
The Freedom Fiends pioneered
more like visual
that.
Tragedy, I think, because
visual
it's a
tragedy on the radio.
It's a photo. We came across this photo of a baby in a
onesie.
Like a baby outfit. And what did it say on it?
I'm looking at it. It says, "My daddy can arrest your daddy." And it's got a pair of handcuffs on it. And a cop posted it.
Right. And it's all gushing all over it. However, it fell into the hands of the internet. And the comments
farmers.
Are pretty darn good on there.
I've never seen this many. Okay. Like, James Babb is a popular guy on the internet. But, you know, for instance, he posted, "With all the steroids, I wonder how he could father a child. I suspect the mailman." This has 272 likes. Have you ever posted anything that's had that many likes, James?
Yes. Rarely, but, you know, because that particular story went super viral, got tons of likes too.
I'm surprised they're letting people post this stuff. Usually, I mean, this is on Law Enforcement Today's website.
Is that maybe a real thing? Maybe that's a troll thing. I don't even know what that is.
Maybe they're using it to collect a database of people to beat up.
It's more like Law Enforcement Yesterday.
Yeah, Law Enforcement Yesterday.
No, this is totally a pro cop site.
Is it real? Because, you know, there's so many troll people out there now. I don't know. It's hard to know what is reality and what is people like trying to be funny by appearing like reality.
Yeah.
They're saying Martin Shkreli is a social experiment now.
Who?
This pharma bro they're saying that.
Well, I've heard it said that he's like part of the Hillary campaign or the Bernie campaign. Like, it's too perfect. Like, you know, the story is too perfect. It was crafted and faked. You know, like, he comes out, vastly raises the price of some life-saving drug that AIDS patients need. It's actually the thing
gets
that
a Wu-Tang Clan album.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
now, and then ends up in jail, like, where everyone can laugh at that he's going to get raped and like get social justice for charging too much money.
I'm going to be. I will be doing jury nullification pamphleting at his trial,
telling people that they can vote him guilty even if he's not
guilty of what. What's he accused of? I stand behind him, as far as I know.
I don't know, man.
You don't have to follow the law, because they'll go in and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, well, the memes told me this guy's bad, so
well
for life."
I think his what he's being tried with something ridiculous, like, you know, lying to the government or something.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
One of those things.
So, but, like, I reflexively just give him the benefit of the doubt in these situations.
But the thing that did that people were mad about was something that wouldn't exist without government. You know, the patent on a life-saving drug.
Right. And, you know, how many, gosh, well, you know, I'm sure Steve Jobs or Bill Gates has done the same thing on things that he sells. They get a patent on some little piece of equipment or software, and suddenly they mark it up 10,000% and stick it in an iPhone. Nobody cares, you know. But of course,
this is a good place to make the point that when you go after somebody for stealing jokes, that has nothing to do with intellectual property law.
No, you said that, it. You summed it up great. You said if you're in a creative, what did you say?
Field, don't be uncreative.
If you're in a creative field, don't be uncreative. I quoted that on another show.
This person should go to jail. No one's saying this person should be sued or anything ridiculous like that. It's saying this person's a schmuck because they steal jokes, and you should not respect them.
Exactly. So pamphlet at their trial.
Yes. Have a good show, everybody. I'm going to take the rest of the night off.
All right, hope you're feeling better.
Yep, yeah. Worms.
Live well.
Yep.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the... you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons. And you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Now, Steve, I understand we have some squawk goals to update.
Indeed.
Why don't you explain to the audience what we're talking about here?
Indeed. So, for regular listeners, you know that we have squawk goals, which are squad goals, these collective goals that we work toward together as though
sounds
we were
horribly collectivist, and I don't know
there
if
you
I
go.
Like this. I don't know if I
there
like
you go.
This.
Well,
I don't think I like where it's going, but let me hear it.
They're only ever used for fun, humorous ends. One of our squawk goals was getting beyond the artist for Bernie Page. That's the longing of my heart. Yeah.
Are you on there yet?
Yeah, and the other one was Yak Farmer, the introduction of the term Yak Farmer as a slang term into the popular lexicon.
Okay, you are a member of Artists for Bernie now?
In my heart or on their HTML, because what I wouldn't give to have someone from the Bernie campaign donate me one, hashtag please donate a couple lines of code and just write Steve Miller comedian on the Artist for Bernie page. That's all I want. Please.
Anonymous, we're looking at you. Anonymous, yeah. go to work.
I
seriously,
don't need
that
no
should be a
DDoS
piece of cake.
Attack.
Shouldn't that be a piece of cake for Anonymous?
Just put me on the page.
Go on Bernie's website and add Steve Miller comedian To the artist for Bernie Sanders.
That's all I want. But that was one of them. The introduction of the slang term Yak Farmer to describe pro market loonies like ourselves.
Tell me more about this, the Yak Farmer.
Is this
a derogatory comment or is this complimentary?
When used toward others, when used toward each other, you could say, like, what's up, my Yak Farmer? Like for you and I, one unto the other.
But it's a disparaging term. If you're,
it is
using
a disparaging term that's been reclaimed. Correct. Like Lawbert, the term Lawbert was reclaimed heroically by Jim Jesus, and that term, indeed, yeah. If I were to have one person follow me around like they were a studio audience, and it weren't Lisa, it would definitely be Jim. He's got a great laugh. Great for radio. Anyway, that notwithstanding,
I want you to use Yak Farmer in some more sentences. Give me some examples of how I might want to incorporate this into my daily vocabulary. I was into this collectivist squawk goal things.
Okay, an example would be, the congressman was having a great town meeting until 5 Yak Farmers showed up and started asking questions about the Federal Reserve.
Oh, right. I love it.
Yeah. The congresswoman turned to her aide and said, "You better get these Yak Farmers out of here right now," etc.
Yeah.
See, that's how it works. And then, they go home, they farm some yaks. A good time's had by all.
Nice.
But
I like that.
Our new squad goal. Squawk
squad goal or squawk goal?
Squawk. SQUAKGOAL. A squawk goal, if you want to. And if you have something that you want to suggest for us on Twitter, by all means, just use that hashtag. Also, if you have any advice that you want in the second hour, hashtag Dear Babby, throw it on. We'll ask a sumo sexual.
Right.
Yeah, or ask a sumo sexual if you'd like me to address it, what have you. We'll get to all of it.
And then eventually, when Jim Jesus is back, we've got Tell Your Problems to Jesus.
Tell Your Problems to Jesus.
Yeah. So this is a teaching hospital, right?
This is a teaching hospital. And one of our new squat goals is we're going to have a campaign to write prisoners in the Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution in Huntington, Pennsylvania, because I want our show to be very popular in jail, because there's an LRN affiliate on 93.3. Shouts to anyone who's listening on the station right now. And I'm pretty sure that the prisoners can hear our show. So anybody that's listening,
awesome.
Listening there.
Hey, did you see those?
So we're going to write to them and promote via letters and perhaps some commissary padding. You know,
well, I've got a better idea. Instead of asking them for permission, did you see that thing where you use that little Raspberry Pi computer? Okay, it's this little inexpensive computer on a ship.
Right, the $5, yeah.
And you make a pirate radio throwy with like a magnet and a bat and a power supply, and you just chuck it. We could just hurl these into the prison.
There we go.
Yeah.
So, shouts to any federal agents listening. We'll be back in the second hour. This is the Trigger Weens on the Freedom Warnings.
Worms.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Back to hour two, Freedom Fiends. Bam, I'm here with Steve Miller, and we are broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high top Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Welcome back, Steve Miller.
Indeed. Great to be back.
So,
sorry.
No, that's fine. We were talking about Hillary Clinton earlier, and normally I just have to ignore these people, but sometimes they either just blurt out the truth accidentally, and you just have to sort of sit back and be like, whoa, I can't believe they actually said that in public. And Hillary Clinton is getting a little bit of, some people are a little suspicious because she, I think this was during a debate, during the Democratic candidate debate, she said she wants a Manhattan Project-style project to work against encryption. Okay, she called it a Manhattan-like project. Okay, and described a partnership between the government and tech companies to fight terrorism online. Quote, the idea that the creation of the nuclear bomb is an effort our government should now be replicating is more than a little disturbing, one critic mentioned. Anyway, what do you think about that, Steve? Do you think we need that Hillary Clinton should have this massive technological effort to make sure that there's nothing encrypted from the government?
Ever. Yeah, there should never be it. Yeah, absolutely. No amount of money's too high. No amount of effort is too great. Maybe she watched that movie War Games. Did you ever see that movie from the 80s?
Do you want to play a game?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's the only way to win is?
Not to play.
Right. Bingo.
It's like an election.
This is what politics is all about. Like, I didn't even realize what an anarchist-themed movie that was at the time.
I haven't seen it since I was in, like, ninth grade. They had this selection of movies that they would show us at Lutheran school when it would rain, which was, I mean, the weather was often pretty bad in Ohio, and we had a couple of movies. And I remember in War Games, I think someone drops a word that you can't say on radio, and you definitely can't say at a Lutheran elementary school, and I remember they said it, and everybody whooped and hollered at the profanity in the movie. And it was a little victory for liberation. And I remember the teacher, Mr. Kosick, if you're listening, Jim Kosick, shouts to you. And he shook his head and had his hands on his hips, and he could just do nothing because, first you get screwed by the weather, and now there's cursing and War Games.
Nice.
It's one. You know, it's one thing that humanity is about to be destroyed.
You know what they showed us? The movie they showed at my school was Pippi Longstocking. Okay.
Oh, like, I thought you were going to say Woman on the Train because you're old.
It was actually. They didn't have moving pictures back then. They just brought in like mimes to act it out for us. Yeah.
A mime is a terrible thing to waste.
Man. You know, did you ever hear that? Speaking of mimes, did you ever hear that story about Penn Jillette's partner?
Teller.
I don't know what his first name is.
William. That's not what his name is. No, I don't know.
We don't know.
What's his thing?
He evidently somebody stole his pantomime intellectual property, and he's like sued people in Europe for infringing on his pantomime. So it's not exactly
true. Shibes, she's everywhere.
What's that?
Yeah, that true Shibes, she steals everybody's bits.
Good.
Yeah, little inside baseball there, but what are you gonna do?
Hey, what's Bernie's view on encryption? Is Bernie favor this? I mean, I guess he say, hey, a job program, right? Like,
Bernie thinks encryption has to do with the pharaohs in Egypt. He has no idea what encryption is. He's old as could be. He doesn't. Yeah,
how old is he?
Bernie's old. Have you ever seen the Bernie So Black hashtag? Hashtag Bernie So Black. Highly recommended. Go look it up. It's from the Black Guy Who Tips.
Okay.
But yeah, hashtag Bernie So Black.
All right. I'm not going to look it up now, but why don't you
tell me? Yeah, no. That doesn't make for great radio. Everybody, go do an internet search.
Yeah, let me go look that up, and I'm going to read some of those jokes, and I'll report back if there's any funny ones.
And ironically, it all started off with me making fun of Bernie Sanders for being old and not knowing how to use the internet, and then it's us not knowing how to do radio because we need to stop and do the internet. You know, it's loaded with some sweet, sweet irony.
Yeah.
But anyway, no matter what happens, I definitely deserve $15 an hour.
Bernie doesn't pay $15 an hour, does he?
No, he doesn't have to. There are people who'd run into traffic for him for free.
Wow. And I'm not saying I would pay his supporters to run into traffic, but, you know, I think
if they're willing to do it for an hour for $15.
What's that?
If they're willing to do it for an hour for $15, that might be a pretty effective Liberty Outreach campaign.
Just charge into traffic. Nah, that's a little mean-spirited.
That's not the kind of thing we're trying to do. We're not trying to reach LibPair via deaths. But, right. You know, there's podcasts for that. We're just not.
If they voluntarily choose to somehow remove themselves from the gene pool through their idiocy, then, you know, that's just nature working her magic.
Versus nurture.
Yeah.
Nurture. Nurture you out of existence.
Do you have anything to, speaking of Bernie, do you have anything to report from the meme-iverse of in the world of Bernie? What's hot on Bernie memes right now?
What we were just talking about reminds me of the classic meme of Bernie Sanders, and at the top it says, "What's a meme?" And at the bottom it says, "Bottom caption." I have this saved in the Stanky Dank Memes album of my phone. I'll tweet it out. One second. But yeah, it's one of my favorite Bernie memes of all time. Other than Barney Sandler's. I love Barney Sandler's.
Oh.
Yeah, here we go. Boom. Tweet it out to the memeverse.
You know, and you know, here's the thing. I just Googled Bernie memes. I'm hoping, like, I want to see some. They're all like people that like Bernie. Yeah.
Yeah, it's because people get really, like, they wax all nostalgic about things he said, and they get all, like, syrupy and hopey. They're right. They get on hopamine. And
Hopamine.
Yeah, their hopamine levels go through the roof.
They're hooked on that at Rand Paul headquarters as well. You know where they don't have a lot of hopamine?
Somalia.
No, over at the Jeb Bush headquarters.
Well, you don't have people. You know, that's part of the thing is it needs a host body, hopamine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Statism needs a host body. It seeks a host.
It can't spread otherwise.
Yes.
speak through me. Tell everybody they need to vote. Go get a driver's license. Bwah.
Demons.
Yeah. So
I'm not calling people demons. Let me clarify that right now. Oh, you went to seminary. You're now calling people demons. I'm not calling anyone a demon. You're not a demon
here, right?
Yeah.
We
call people names. We just don't call them demons.
Pantsuits.
We call people names all the time. We just don't call them demons. Yeah.
Right. Well, now what was that up with the DNC data thing? You must have followed that story. So they said, she accessed Hillary Clinton's data somehow, and somebody got mad, and somebody cut off his access to voter data. What the heck's going on here?
They've got this huge database of all their voter data.
Now, are these the living voters or the dead voters?
Yes.
Okay. The ones you can count on to support your candidate no matter what.
Yeah. I think they've got everybody, and I think they've got everything. I think it's similar to your permanent record when you're in school. They're like, you know, don't do anything, or this is going to go on your permanent record, and Uncle Bernie's going to see.
Yeah, right. It could show, like, you registered libertarian in 1992 through 1994.
the greatest thing, I have a lot of comedians on my Facebook feed, and the greatest thing I saw written about the Democratic debates was when John Nunn, who's this comedian in Brooklyn, he's one of the most tattooed individuals I've ever met, and he's big and fat, and if he takes his shirt off, he looks like kind of a really racist beach ball because he's got all these prison tats. But he wrote that watching the Democratic debates is like having an uncomfortable family meal with your crazy uncle and the aunt that your mom hates. And I thought that was pretty dead on as a description. And who wants to like tune into that conversation? Like, they wonder why these things get low ratings.
You know, I think there's also a bloodthirstiness and the eye of a looter that you see. That's not
looter's
quite
eye.
What I would expect,
that's a great condition to have.
You know, even from that crazy
looter's
hand,
eye.
You know, it's more like having people over that might be like eyeing up like, you know, your silverware. You know, like you're afraid to, like, you don't use your real silverware because they might see where you store it.
Well, technically, it's Christmas Eve right now. So, you know, nice. Sanders Claus is probably eyeing the presents under your tree if he sees that there's too many there.
Somebody's got to redistribute Christmas.
Yeah, redistribute Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, putting the red back in the red and green.
Did you see a video of a Palestinian protest where they're all wearing Santa costumes and then they're clashing with like Israeli soldiers as Santa Clauses?
That must have been so patriotic looking, because you have the red and white from the Santa costumes versus the blue of the Israelis, and it must have looked like red, white, and blue just converging on one another. Makes your little America sense tingle.
It wasn't, you know, I was thinking like this may be the war on Christmas, you know, that I've heard about. I mean, like,
yeah,
I wish I could say this is really hilarious. You should see it, because it's actually quite disturbing, and there's quite a bit of violence. But they're trying to use Santa as a way of, I guess, humanizing the poor people that are being victimized over there. So,
yo, did you hear about that prison taking away the one inmate's violin?
Where was this? And how did an inmate get a violin anyway?
Well, they took it away. Now he's a non-violin defender.
Oh.
Sun's out, pun's out, Jim Babb.
Hey, what? That brings us back to prisons, and we got off topic. We have a squawk goal that we were talking about to get Freedom Fiends into as many prisons as possible. Not the fiends themselves, but the show broadcast into prison.
Right. So
yeah, that's an important difference there. So
right. So if you
so we
if
we you, what are our options here, Steve?
So the best thing I can think of is for people to. For people to write to prisoners in Huntington, Pennsylvania, SCI Huntington. If you search SCI Huntington, you'll get all sorts of prisoner information.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
on the way out. But we were talking about a particular prison, and this is, if I understand this right, we're going to try to make this a model prison where the inmates can enjoy the Freedom Fiends. Is that correct?
Right. Well, yeah. They already can. This is one of the stations that LRN airs on is in 93.3 in Huntington, Pennsylvania.
93.3 in Huntington, Pennsylvania. Okay, so we want people to write to your inmate friends there and get them to turn their radios on.
Make some inmate friends. You know, write to them and be like, hey, how you doing? You know, do you know about the Freedom Fiends? Maybe 1 to 3 in the morning. You know, it's rough. You're up. You're awake.
How far away is this from where we are?
Maybe 3-4 hours. It's in the middle of the state. They always put these prisons in these,
You can't have it near anybody.
They call it going upstate for a reason. Yeah. Mm. But you can get the Freedom Fiends there. And I want to note to any wardens who might be listening to this show in the future, I want you to know this. All of this show, every bit of it, is covered by a BIPCOT NoGov license. So if you find an inmate with this show, you can't reuse this in a hearing and be like, oh, we're writing up this guy for being a subversive because he was listening to this show. Nope, can't do it because it's covered. So it can't be reused by you for any purpose.
Right. And if, for instance, if they wanted to pick up the radio and perhaps use it as a, I'm not going to say, I don't know, somehow, you know, like use it as a item of self-defense, right? Like that wouldn't be considered using a weapon, like if they hit somebody with a radio, right?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, Jim. Dear Babby does not count as legal advice.
Yeah.
We should also note that if you're listening from a prison that I am
also
not an
don't
attorney.
Give like investment advice either.
I'm not even a very good chaplain if you have those sorts of questions. But
that would be fun to try that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I started out as a radio star. I inadvertently became a long distance prison chaplain.
Well, and now what about these small radio transmitters that maybe we could add to, we can add these to other prisons, right?
Drones.
Yeah, we could just like hide radio transmitters in the bushes and stuff at the near the prisons. These little small micro transmitters, right?
Yeah, small little micro transmitters. You go, you throw them in the dirt outside. You keep them hidden, and then
now once we're like a fixture in prisons across the country, people can use us to send messages to their inmates, right? That are in jail. Be like, oh, it's impossible to use their phone system, right?
And, so and instead, then when we're in jail for aiding and abetting inmates, we can still have the show.
Yeah, we'll set up a different hashtag, and if you want to tweet something at your loved one behind bars, we could just sort of, you know, like we could read those tweets off, right? And, you know, and that way they could, you know, be like a real service to the community.
That's a one-way level of communication, though, unless they can get a smuggled-in cell phone and start tweeting at us from behind the prison walls, though.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. The guards could. Right?
Yeah.
Well, think about it, okay? Now, a lot of those guards, they're going to start listening to Freedom Fiends, okay? And at first, they're going to be like, well, they're going to get a little angry. They're like, oh, it's covered by BIPCOT.
It's like dealing with a death. Yeah.
Then, though, you know, one show, two shows, a week of shows, a month of shows, now they're questioning their whole career choice, okay? Maybe sooner, okay? Now they're in there going, wow, what am I doing here? I'm a prison guard, right? So, you know, eventually we'll start converting them and they'll start, you know, they'll be, you know, recruits or converts, right?
Sleeper cells
in the cells. And they actually have the keys to the other cells. So might not be so bad. So, I don't know if this is, I mean, of course, it's all perfectly legal and protected by the Constitution of the United States, right, Steve?
Yep, 100%. Again, not a lawyer. See? You're trying to pin these attorney-type questions on me, and I'm not an attorney.
Where is Randy England when we need him? Randy, he's our resident fiend lawyer.
Attorney at fiend.
I've got a show coming up with Randy in really just a few days. I'm looking forward to that.
I haven't checked my schedule. I think you and I have one more show this year, correct?
I don't know. I've been blessed with a nice helping of Steve Miller co-hosting. Thank you very much.
Been in abundance. You and I on the pick and roll duo, little basketball term. I think there's a lot of parallels between what we do in pro basketball, in that we're paid millions of dollars and go on the road
and have a culture
of college basketball
everywhere.
Where the big advertisers make all the money. We just have to work for free and make basketball.
Those button magnates make all the money.
Yeah, big buttons.
We're shills for big buttons.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Trigger your tempers. This is the Freedom Fiends. Steve Miller, back with Jim Babb. And here at the 2 o'clock hour, we just want to remind everybody listening here at the, back in Radio Land, that Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Barry Satoru is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Hillary Rodham is a liar, a socialist, and her pantsuit stinks. And James Babb. The next couple days, Freedom Fiends is running reruns. Couple nights later this week. I think there might be one episode tomorrow night, but I'm not on it.
Okay.
And then, yeah, there's reruns. And on the nights, so it's kind of hard to run reruns when you do shows that involve the news, that involve commentary on things that are in
right.
current events that are happening.
Doesn't mean our show's not always timeless, but it's also sometimes timely with certain current events that we just, you know, we can't avoid.
Right. Things happen. People want to talk about them. People do. And it's hard to play reruns. So, James, I thought that maybe you and I could, for this segment, talk, you know, just do a segment that could be rerun whenever.
Yeah.
That's chronologically universally applicable.
Right. We can just insert this for years to come at any point, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me get the ball rolling by. Let me get it started by saying, can you believe what Cantwell said? That's outrageous.
It was extremely edgy. I thought that the 10,000-word blog post using libertarian philosophy to basically justify the impulse to be an a-hole was the most interesting part. And then the video where he got drunk and justified the new edgelord thing he said set everybody ablaze, and everybody's talking about it. And
he
got some attention, though. And, I mean, when he gets attention from things like this, you know, that's always good for our ratings. It's similar to talking about polyps, but yeah. Did you hear about Michael W. Dean's new health problem?
Oh, my goodness.
Hopefully
so
he'll be better soon. Yeah.
Oh,
he's
been
feeling rough lately.
Yeah. Hashtag MWD pap smear, I think was what was that?
MW.
No, it wasn't a pap smear. That's not the one. It's the one. What's the one in your lung? Anyway,
that's not a pap smear. That's a what are those little lung, those sac, are they aviolis?
It's not,
I'm thinking
raviolis.
Of ravioli.
No,
it's not
okay.
Ravioli.
Let's keep it timeless. This is correct. So this, we could repeat this. Boy, you know who would have thought that, you know, when we were talking about how bad you know, Obama was, that the next president, you know, would be this bad. Wow.
Yeah.
I never imagined the current president would be this bad.
Yeah. Current president's pretty bad. I can't believe it's current year and we still are having problems such as current issue.
Yeah, it's current year, but for God's sakes.
Let's get with the times. It is 20. Pause for future editing. And let's get with it. Let's get with the times. Let's social justice cause of the moment.
Probably
involving
bathrooms. Oh, that police brutality case this weekend. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, did you see that video of the cop just rearing back and beating the bejesus out of that kid?
Oh,
good
that
lord.
Was awful. Yeah, that was terrible. And of course, it was found to be within. They did investigate themselves, and it was, everything's cool. So, But yeah.
And of course, everybody's all outraged and calling for more government to investigate the cops now.
Right. Yeah. Naturally, yeah. The problem with government is, you know, whatever problem you have with government, the solution is going to be more government. So
I don't know about you, but ever since this last mass shooting, my Facebook feed has just been arguments about guns. So lame.
Yeah. And you know what? Oh, what about that latest the libertarian candidate who's in with a eugenics program? What's going on with that?
Oh yeah, I heard they found a bunch of old writings that he made, and it turns out that his senior thesis in college was about the final solution, but that was just about ending the Federal Reserve. No big deal. Nothing to right. see here.
Yeah. So yeah,
just move it along. Mm-mm-mm. Man, right, crazy times we're living in current year.
Yeah, yeah, interesting times. All right, what else do we have that's timeless? Let's see. How was that? Did you see that TV show that Michael W. Dean liked so much?
Oh, he binge watched it. I don't really have time to sit on Netflix because, man. I'm seeing this dude, big fat Asian dude, and I think this one's the one. I think this time it's definitely gonna last, and yeah, feeling really good about it, feeling positive. You know, he hasn't heard the radio show, so I think I still stand a chance. As soon as he meets any of the fiends in person, though, I think I might be back on the old the buffet, as they say.
Well, you know, enjoy it while it lasts, you know.
Like this segment where we talk about current events and things that are going on.
You know, do you think the big terrorist thing last week was a false flag or not?
Oh man, I saw a YouTube video about it, and they said that not only were there crisis actors, but it also never happened. That it's like an Emperor's New Clothes type of thing.
Right.
People.
Not only did it not happen, but there were crisis actors acting it out. Was an illusion because it's not really even happening. Yeah.
Crisis. I think of myself as a crisis hacker.
A crisis hacker?
Yeah, and that I'm a hack comedian, so I'm a crisis hacker. When they were going to have that open carry march, where they were going to have everybody open carry guns and march 10,000 people in Washington, D.C., and right. get a bunch of people slaughtered, they asked me if I wanted to perform comedy at said event, and I said, you know,
of course,
because I had a feeling.
What's funny? You know what? You should have seen the comics they had at Lexington and Concord. Now this was some of the funniest material.
There was good stage time to be had at Lexington and Concord. Yo, Washington, get me on that list.
Right. Well, and to be fair, back then it took them a really long time to reload their muskets, so you could
remember in May 19.
Some really scathing quips in, you know, before the Redcoats mowed you down.
Remember in May 1970 when Richard Pryor headlined the Kent State shooting?
Ooh.
Too soon. 45 years.
Yeah, that's a tough one to make jokes about, definitely.
Yeah, see? Try to keep it timeless or you wind up. Mm-mm-mm.
Right, always rooted back to these, like, fixed points in history. Let's see. So, yeah, it turns out, you know, global warming isn't panning out again.
Yeah, the polar ice caps were supposed to be gone, but they still exist.
Still have ice caps for some reason. That's a bummer.
Yeah. I've been having problems lately with people on the Bernie Sanders campaign stealing my buttons. See, he's eventually not going to be running for president, though. That was a little chronological faux pas on my part.
That's okay. Well, you know, we're getting used to this. This is a new segment for us, and I think we're going to practice this as we go, and maybe we can get some. You know, we'll get some listener feedback.
Because here's the thing: we only have to do this bit 8 times, and then we'll have an entire show ready, right?
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah, I think that would, and we could just hit play. In fact, you know, we could just. Just like, do you feel like doing a show? I don't know. Just boom. Yeah.
And then be like, yo, I know you folks are in prison, but Babby and I got a life to live.
Yeah,
so
fiend phone
you have
it
fun
in.
On that. You have fun on that cell block. Here's 8 segments you've already heard. We're out of here. Peace.
Yeah, no, I would never. I would never do that because I just love doing the show that much that I would never even consider it. Yeah, I like the idea of having these. you know, it's not like we can't do the show 24/7. So what I want is, you know, stuff has to be replayed, especially for this new prison project. Do we? What's the hashtag for this? Get the fiends. Send the fiends to prison campaign. That's what we should call it.
Yeah, the Send the Fiends to Prison campaign.
Yeah.
And your James Bond-style plan for FM transmitters that are smaller than, like, your thumb, that should definitely be put out to the public. And if you live near a prison, and what was it you were telling me? I think you might have been telling me during the break where you were going to put, like, an FM transmitter in a ball and just chuck it over the prison fence.
We could use a drone, unregistered, of course, you know, or a rocket. There's a lot of different ways. Really, what drone. I want to do is just beam the signals in, right? We don't have to get our transmitter into the prison. Although we might need to sneak in extra receivers. What if they're not allowed to? Maybe we could have like a in the ear hidden, like, thing where they could listen to Fiend Phone and, like, nobody in the prison even knows they're listening to it. These, like, little, like, in, like, a hearing aid that goes in your ear.
Yeah. I would hate to think that we are only a minimum and medium security style show. I would like to think that our demographic reaches into the people who've committed heinous crimes, the kinds that even anarchists are like, yeah, this prison should probably be locked away from society.
Right, but what if the whole prison starts listening? Like, I can just see this whole Huntington Valley, is that what it was?
It's Huntington, it's in the Huntington Valley, but yeah, okay. Huntington is the name.
So, if this Huntington prison, imagine they start listening to Fiends every day. Okay, the whole show, everything. Okay, now and their fans are starting, or their loved ones give us messages to relay to them. You know, and we start saying stuff like, you know, the plan is on 10:30. Like,
yeah.
Do you think anyone would get suspicious, or could we get in trouble for that?
One of the greatest prison riots of all time was in New Mexico, and I saw a documentary about it. It was like some TV show. It wasn't like a formal documentary or anything like that. But one thing that they did, and this is a little gross, but they had a flamethrower, and there was this construction part of the prison where they were renovating part of the prison, and the prisoners get control. They'd made a bunch of budget cuts to the prison.
Right.
And part of the subtext of it was, oh, you never want to cut the budget to the prison. Otherwise, you know, horrors like this could happen. So they have like a smaller number of guards and a larger number of inmates, and they've also cut like a bunch of food to the inmates, and like their rations are way down. They're going like a little crazy as well. And,
right.
And, you know, eventually all hell breaks loose. They take over the prison, and they take over this construction site, and they get this flamethrower, and they start taking rival prisoners, and they start literally melting their faces with a flamethrower. Just, and yeah, it melts people's face.
That's why we need to get into these prisons. So if they do have a jailbreak, it's going to be like, it's going to be more chilled out, right? Like, there's no need to melt people's faces, right?
Yeah. No faces were melted in the production of this radio show. That should be up there with the Bipcot in terms of the little statements that we made.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Steve, I'm sure you follow all the news on the Miss Universe pageant, right?
All the breaking pageant news. We're your one-stop source.
Poor Steve Harvey. You know, I kind of like that guy, Steve Harvey. You know who Steve Harvey is?
He probably went and cried into his millions of dollars. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember his sitcom.
Oh, he had a sitcom. Oh, what? what was it like on WB or something or what?
No, it was on ABC. It was called Me and the Boys, and it was him and these sons. He was a single dad, and the sons would get into these whack adventures every week. It was kind of like how with I Love Lucy, how every week you knew Lucy was going to do something dumb, and then Ricky would come and Ricky would be mad, et cetera, et cetera.
Didn't he take over for Richard Dawson on Family Feud? Is that the same guy?
He took over for Richard Dawkins on Angry Atheism. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, he did take over for Richard Dawson. And Louis Anderson was on Family Feud for a little while. That's a sexual harassment haven. That's like worse than The Price is Right. If you're an attractive lady looking to not get grabbed, you probably have a better chance on The Price is Right set now that it's Drew Carey versus back when it was Barker. That was the prime groping era. And yeah, but Family Feud's always been you gotta, you know, make out with some ugly old man just because you want to guess what people in a survey thought. Yeah, that's the weird thing about Family Feud.
Weird show, you know. Yeah, definitely you're kind of guessing, a weird show.
Guessing what people are gonna say in response to a survey, you have to guess what like regular survey respondents are gonna guess.
Did you ever play the game at Pork Fest? Okay, where there's a Family Feud style game hosted by Bob Murphy, okay, with like these like Liberty teams, and like it was really hilarious. It was really great fun, and I missed Bob this past year because he wasn't there to do that, but hopefully he'll be back. Really fun stuff, but it's all like silly Liberty themed like survey questions and good times.
We asked 100 Austrian economists.
Yeah. Bob Murphy is I'm a big fan of Bob Murphy. Really cracks me up, and you know, it's like it's funny as a you know, it's like it's all, of course his Austrian economics is his shtick and everything, but you know, like I already
that classical comedy trope of Austrian economics. Yeah, oh man,
like I'd rather the amount of jokes
material
about
that provides is endless.
It turns out it does. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah.
I'm going to close with my Rothbard impression here at this comedy set tonight. I think that'll crush here at the comedy club.
Wasn't Mises' famous work, Human Haction?
Boom. There we go. Looks like I'm not the only one with closers around here. Yeah.
I've been learning from the best.
Yeah, sun's out, pun's out. Boom. See, it's one thing when you laugh at someone's joke. It's another thing when you make pro wrestling style onomatopoeias to tell them to convey that you thought it was funny. Boom, bam, to the pavement.
Right, it actually gets sound effects. Right.
Yeah, pop, like Batman. Poof, zoinks.
Yeah, and you can actually hear like the da na 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 like in the background.
Hackman. Hackman. Give him the light.
Man.
That's what you do. Instead of shining the bat signal, they just wave a cell phone in the air to signify that for Hackman to get off stage.
Hey, I got a great bit of good news for the final segment to try to squeeze in here. We have this was a story from I guess this is in England somewhere. But this guy made his own toll road without permission, okay? And I came across a link to this. I'll get into the show notes. Anyway, the story is like a year old. But anyway, this guy, like there had been some kind of like road damage, and this like important road was going to be closed for like 6 months. And some guy says, hey, I've got there's a farm here. I'm going to put a road in.
And
he put a road in that goes around the damaged area and a small toll. And he's like, said, oh, I need like 500,000 cars to go around it. And I make my money back. He mortgaged his own house to pay for it. Like really cool. And of course the question's like, well, will he be arrested? What charges will be brought against such a man? But he's getting away with it because everybody digs it.
Yeah, everybody digs his toll road.
I mean, the alternative is to drive like a half an hour detour around. So I think that's pretty cool. So, yeah, that's a good metaphor there, right? Don't try to go through the state. Just build a road around the side. Make a little profit on the side as you do it, right?
Yeah.